Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome back to The Rhythm of Us. It's been a minute.
Yeah. We are so thrilled to be back with you all. Yeah. It has been a minute.
Yeah, it really has.
We hope you all are doing well and enjoying the first few glimpses of spring. Hallelujah.
Your favorite season.
This is my very favorite season. It is beautiful everywhere, but Nashville just does it particularly well. I just love, you know, after a long, cold, dreary winter, the first like few pops of color that come out on the trees and the sunshine finally comes back out.
Y'all, it's real.
We all breathe.
After we take down the Christmas decorations, Jenny's like, is it spring yet? I'm like, babe, we got a couple months here. We got a little bit of time.
Yeah, we love spring. So we wanted to thank so many of you who have reached out to say how much you've missed the podcast or are you coming back and how the book or the study has impacted you. We are always so grateful to hear those stories. Yeah. Like they really do mean the world to us. So thank you for reaching out. And it has been quite a journey.
Yeah.
Trying to find a sustainable rhythm for this podcast that works with our very full plate in the season. You know, it includes raising 5 kids and writing and publishing books and working all the other jobs that we have as well. So we really have just had to land on doing what we can in this season.
Yeah, you know, that's just real. And I think that's the part that we hope everybody out there listening can hear is that there's seasons, you know. I think we all have seasons in our life, and there's seasons in business and ministry and, you know, all sorts of things. But we have a senior in high school graduating this year.
Yeah. I mean, when we first started out, all of our kids were younger. They were none of them were teenagers yet. And we were able to air a podcast episode every single week, which was so fun. But along the way, we've had to pull back more to focus on what we have in front of us in each season. And especially like you just mentioned, this season where we are launching our very first kid.
Here we go.
Out into the world. And it is just so amazing, but also, you know, all the things that come along with
it. A lot of lasts happening in our life.
A lot of last things. Like, yeah.
This is the last fill in the blank. Last basketball game.
So this year we've really had to just pull back on a lot of things that we enjoy in order to soak up this last year with our son and be fully present for him and for this season. I mean, that is just not something I'm willing to give up at all. So,
yeah, I mean, also too, in the midst of all this, we've been writing this second book, which is going to launch in June, and we're really excited about it. But that is no small task. Yes. That takes a lot of energy and effort. So all that to say is thank you so much for your patience. Thank you for your support and your encouragement. And we're excited to be back again today with an amazing interview.
And that leads so perfectly into today's conversation with one of our very favorite authors, Sarah Haggerty. We chat with Sarah about her latest project called The Gift of Limitations. It was such a great conversation. She unpacked her journey of finding the beauty hidden beneath the boundaries of her life. If you have ever felt stuck or limited by the circumstances that you find yourself in that just don't seem to change, no matter how much prayer, no matter how much effort, this conversation is definitely for you.
We think that if we overcome our limitations, we'll get what we want. Mm-hmm. But underneath that is a longing and a desire for something that might not actually be met with the answer.
Yeah, it was just so fun. She came and sat down with us at our house. We sat across from the table, and really, I just appreciate her transparency, her authenticity, and I think you guys are going to love this conversation as well. So thanks again for joining us. Let's dive in. Well, thanks for joining us again. We're super pumped to see you. Here we are just a few years later, but life's gone on. We have kids that are graduating and all the things, but you have a brand new book out. So really excited to talk about this project and dive in. And the name of the book is called The Gift of Limitations. But the cover is beautiful. But I want to hear from you. Where did the vision of this come from? Where did the kind of inspiration of this book come from?
I think most recently, I like you, have a lot of kids, and that is pretty crazy. On the front end, you don't think it's going to be so crazy until you get knee deep into it. And then you're like, every season gets crazier. So I think most recently, it's what I'm confronted with when I wake up, and it's what I think about when I fall asleep, just how there's a whole world outside my back door that I'd love to access, but I just can't because of my life and the limitation. And it's not just kids, it's other limitations too. Mm-hmm. And then I think looking around at my friends and going, gosh, their limitations are different. I have friends with two kids or three kids or no kids. But they have limitations of their own that are a pretty substantive part of their wrestle with God. And so it felt like, you know what? If I want to put thought to this for my own life, sometimes the best way to do that is to write about it.
Mm. Okay, so let's dive into this idea of limitations. I think that, you know, it probably causes different reactions for people. I'm imagining when they hear that word limits, mm-hmm. some people it might be comforting, but others might push back a little like, hey, I don't like limits. Aren't we supposed to overcome all of our limits? So tell me about that.
Oh, I think people are kind and probably don't express like what they're really thinking. I just like really feel like we were made to be overcomers. I think in some ways we've crafted a theology that maybe isn't as biblical as we think it is around overcoming. You know, we like all day long, aren't you subtly optimizing your day and your life or trying to figure out hacks around things? So in some ways, our culture has wired us to believe if there's a challenge, well, surely it's to be overcome. Mm-hmm. If there's a limit, like, we need to hurdle it, which is them. And for some, you know, in some ways, the reason I wrote the book, because I felt like there's some things that are unmoving in my life. Mm-hmm. And these things that are not moving, what do I do with them? So I think all of us could probably admit to the wrestle of like, sure, I want to overcome, but like, couldn't you right now name something that you're like, I absolutely can't overcome this. So what do I do?
Yeah. So what do you do?
So what do you have? So please, fire minds like to know.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, like, let's talk practically the kids right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got kids in two different stages. So like most of my friends are launching their kids, which is what I'm doing also. But then I've got a 4-year-old. So here mm-hmm. I am on the soccer sidelines with women 15 years younger than me. And I'm like, I am too tired. You know, how do y'all do that? So my kids are probably the lowest hanging fruit in terms of me being able to name and my limitations. And I think the first thing is actually just naming them. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we live like really subtly resenting things that we never name. And so they have this like hidden power over us mm-hmm. because we just react to them over and over again. Like I keep trying to make my life like it was when I was 25 and I didn't have kids. I keep thinking that's going to be what my Saturday or Sunday Sabbath looks like. That's going to be what my weekends look like. I mean, really, I can go back there in my mind as if it's yesterday. But if I can name, you know what? I have 7 people who need me and their needs are big. Mm-hmm. And that's going to prevent me from even like, let's talk about writing, like living out all my writing dreams. I just can't. Right. So I think one of the first steps is naming them. And then I think if we can name them, then we actually have something to grieve, which kind of sounds like deep and oh man, grief really. But like many of us are living in 2024, this death by 1,000 paper cuts, you know, there's a lot of hard things that cumulatively end up making us feel like life is really hard, but you can't name the one thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think there's a power to naming and then going, you know what? I think I'm going to grieve this for a little while. And just recognize it's tough to be 46 and have all my friends moving into seasons where they're becoming empty nesters. And I've got raising a whole another crew. Mm-hmm. And so if I can grieve that, no, I love them. I love them to pieces, but like to go, my 40s aren't looking like what I thought. And this is hard, Lord. Then I think we actually get to engage with what God might have for us there.
Yeah, I love that you call it finding the beauty in your boundaries, right? Like that there's a gift somehow hidden for us in these limits, right? Mm-hmm. Like how do we move from not just grieving what we can't have, but also finding the good in the limit that we see in front of us?
Yeah, I think all of us want to do that. Like all of us want to find the good in the hard. Like we're thoughtful believers enough to not just like hate the hard, but I think we skip steps. You know, for me, like I recently was diagnosed with Lyme disease, actually after I turned the manuscript for this book, and I know the end of the story is God's going to meet me with this and he's going to heal parts of my heart while I'm waiting for him to heal my body. But like, if I just tell myself that, it doesn't really get me anywhere on my days where I'm having heavy fatigue and have to go to bed early. And the teenagers are all in the kitchen and I want to hear what they are saying. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think there is we do that. We tell ourselves the end of the story, like, this is what it needs to be like. This is where we need to be. When in actuality, I think some of the finding the beauty in it is sitting in the process with God. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to grieve this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually say, this is hard. And I'm going to trust that if I sit in grief, it's not going to consume me. I'm not going to become Eeyore. It's not going to be the end of my life, but that God can use that to open my eyes to what's right inside the fence line. Not the things that are, like, when I have less kids, or when my body's in a more healed place, or when I have less responsibility or less needs, or this kid is healed or this parent is healed. But like right here in front of the fence line, there's a lot to be had when all those things are still pending.
Yeah.
You know, before we started recording here, you're talking about, you know, we're writing our book. You're obviously, this is your fourth book, you know, I think you recognize, I mean, anyone who's ever written a book, especially those who have seven kids or five kids, know that there's a lot of limitations. There's a lot of limitations. And so, but what I think was cool is that when you look at limitations, and you talked about this, maybe you can unpack this a little bit more. Sometimes your limitations are for today, but it's not your limitations for a season. So can you unpack that a little bit? Because I think sometimes it's like, you may be limited for today, but like, maybe you can't write a book for 4 years from now, but it doesn't mean that you won't, but your limit is a certain time. So I think there's seems to be, there's a moment of, there's even some reprieve or even joy in naming the limit, but knowing that it may not be a forever.
Right.
It's a for right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think if you know it's not forever, then there's an ability to sit in what God might have for that limit, right? Like, if I know, like if I sit here with my lime and think I'm going to be tired in 10 years, this miserable.
Right, for sure.
I'm miserable for you. It's a bad idea.
You know, or I think of like people who might be listening going, I'm going through this hard thing in my marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, we're going to be resenting each other 15 years from now. No one can endure that.
Right.
But if we look at our history, has there been any, like I even think of, you know, our struggles in our marriage. Now we had hard struggles for about a decade, but like I can look back and go, they lifted, and not just miraculously, we did a lot of work, but they lifted. And boy, am I so grateful for them, because they changed me and him. And I love him even more because of that.
Sure.
And so in some ways, I think it's really actually beneficial to go the limit. The thing that is not moving right now, like the thing you're praying for that is not shifting, like you've become the head of the prayer team for this one thing,
right,
and
right.
It's not moving.
Right.
Like, but it's not going to be forever. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what does God have for you here?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like there's something.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I think you're right in saying that sometimes it's just his presence that we can find. And that is the ultimate gift, right? If we can be content to have him in any season, then like, we can do anything, right?
Right.
So I love that you mentioned that. I want to ask, how can we discern the difference between limits in our life that are from God that we just need to embrace, like kind of what we're talking about, and the limits that we put on ourselves that we need to overcome? Because there really is a difference, you know, if there's something that I, you know, I don't want to sit and wallow.
Can't do that.
Yeah. Like that sometimes I need to just
overcome.
Sometimes there is a limit that I've just accepted that God is actually calling me to overcome. But sometimes it's what you're talking about, where I've prayed and prayed and I've done all the things and this line is just not moving. Mm-hmm. How do we discern the difference between the two of those
things?
That's
such a good question. I think self-awareness is a real key. Mm-hmm. Like if I can get quiet around something that's really driving me crazy and sit with God, I can start to unpack, like, what's the internal motivation here? You know, I think about, there's one thing in particular that I've been praying for in my family for years. And it has felt like it's been what I wake up to, what I fall asleep to, like this thing. And it's so good and godly and right. And it's not moving. And so over a period of time, I mean, this was maybe 2 years in, and I'm going, this is not shifting. And I'm spending a lot of time praying for this thing. As I got quiet with the Lord with it, I realized I'm scared out of my mind for if this circumstance doesn't move, what this means for me.
Right.
So maybe, Lord, you want me to let go of this for a little while and just see free fall a little bit. Mm. Whereas I think there's other things, you know, I think with my writing, I can limit myself and go, I've got seven kids. Who am I to write a book? I'm not going to do that.
Right.
It's just easier for me to not show up. And then if I get quiet, I'm kind of like, I think you're asking me to do it.
Right.
You know, or invite me. Asking is a strong word, but inviting. Mm-hmm. So I think it's self-awareness. It's us looking at ourselves going, is this creating fear or am I fear driven and limiting myself?
Well, I love that. I mean, I'm a big like leadership guy. I love all leadership stuff. So self-awareness is always like, you know, especially in all the, like, let's talk about self-awareness. You're like, what happens when you clearly are an outside observer looking into someone's life, be it kids, spouse, friends, parents, cousins, whatever, coworkers? How do you communicate to somebody that maybe doesn't understand that there's a limit on them and they're trying to push through and banging their head against a wall? Is that, I mean, like,
very careful.
I mean, I don't know. Or are you saying, no, don't do it. I'm just thinking about, like, you know, like there's a world where you go, like, you know, even if I have a kid, right? He's like, okay.
Oh yeah.
This kid wants this thing to happen, but like,
I'm going to go to Hollywood.
Yeah. Or I'm going to play in the NBA. I mean, that's cool, but like,
you could be the one
out of the billions of people. I don't know. Maybe
I think it's a great question. I mean, honestly, as I've observed my own life and others around me, you know, through writing this book, I feel like circumstances teach people pretty well. And I think that God uses them. I mean, we are learning that with our teenagers, right? Like, you're going to sit back, put duct tape on your mouth and watch what God does. Like, and I feel like in some ways it's similar to our peers or like, you know, dear friends that were going, oh my goodness, you're still praying for this thing. Like you still, like, couldn't it be that maybe this isn't the thing? But then it's like you watch somebody's life for a year and it's like the Lord just, I mean, he's doing it in my life, right? Like he's using circumstances to limit me. I would love to think I'm mature enough to hear a sermon and change, but I'm just not.
Yep. Heard that.
For sure.
No, that's good.
So talk about longing specifically for a minute. That's something I know you touch on in the book and like, you know, we all have longings that we carry around. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just mentioned it, but there's times where we need to hold on to them and keep maybe even just stepping forward one thing at a time, keep holding on to that hope. And then there's times where like you're saying, we just need to let go. In your own life, have you found things that help you know the difference between those two things?
I think, again, back to circumstances and self-awareness, the convergence of those two, I think, tend to help us dissect what is the longing underneath that and what is God doing with the longing. I think of like a family vacation. Actually, this was kind of the beginning of what had us on a trail to diagnosing my Lyme. We do once a year, we go to the beach, my whole family, like siblings and everything. This is the thing. My mom gets a beach house for everybody, all the cousins. And it takes, I mean, we're coming from the farthest direction. So we're like literally driving across the country with all these people and all their stuff and all their favorite things. So it feels like we maybe spend months preparing for this 1 week. And several years ago, I got sick on day one and was sick the entire time, like in my room, could not, I mean, swollen glands, couldn't even talk. And I'm upstairs listening to everything that's happening the one time a year that my entire family is together and going, I can't believe this. And I just had this phrase like drop into my mind, like, what if I meant it this way? Which I sensed was maybe from the Lord. If you, why would you begrudge me of like the one time a year that I get to connect with my family, like the one time that I'm in the mix with everybody because they all live in a different part of the country? And as I sat with it, it was like, oh, I could start to identify my desire to be downstairs and in the mix with everybody was actually just this deep sense of this deep longing to belong. And so I went, oh, like you're actually naming for me that underneath this all is a deep longing for belonging. So if this circumstance doesn't shift, can I still find that? It's kind of like what you mentioned, Jenny, and just the like, is his presence enough? Sometimes I think he has to really lead us there to going, what I ultimately want can still be found, even if my circumstances won't give it to me. I long to belong, but God, I fit with you. I fit with you and I'm upstairs and sick and they're all together. And you're whispering into my world just the same as you did when I was 16, but couldn't really have ears to hear. You fit with me. Mm-hmm. You always have a place with me. You will always have a family here. So in many ways, I think if we can be self-aware in our circumstances, kind of notice ourselves, mm-hmm. notice what's happening around us, that there's an avenue for understanding what is there's longing underneath here and God's responding. It just maybe he's not responding the way we thought he would.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
You're saying that was kind of the genesis of this moment, or this was just another moment like for the book, like when you had that moment with your family and mm-hmm. God's kind of speaking to you.
It wasn't what caused me to write the book, but I write that story in the book because it just feels so real. Like this sense of I'm standing on the outside of the window again, looking in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in this moment, I'm actually identifying that I'm not actually longing to be right here, right now mm-hmm. in this moment. You know, we think that if we overcome our limitations, we'll get what we want. Right. Mm. But underneath that is a longing and a desire for something that might not actually be met with the answer.
Yeah. So
that's so good.
I want to know, was there like a moment of like relief or freedom as this thing, as you wrote this thing, and maybe as this idea kept coming and you kept going, oh gosh, pressure's off in a way, like mm-hmm. I understand that, like freedom. Yes. Was there a moment or a time that you're just like, what? And like, wait, or what was it?
Absolutely. So that thing that I mentioned that I've been praying for years, mm-hmm. Lord, move this. It's good. It's godly. You want to do it. It was extremely challenging for a period of time. And then there was some lifting and we took a family trip to Maui, which is kind of rare for us, like with this big of a family, sort of an epic once in a lifetime. That's not for sure. We're in our big van driving across the country. So we took a family trip to Maui and the ache of this situation just surfaced again. It's where I'm Maui. We're there for 2 weeks and I am pounding God's chest going, you've got to be kidding me. Like this followed us to Maui. We came all the way to Maui and this is happening. And what in the world, like the 2 weeks respite we have as a family. And I got every day I'm like processing, talking to Nate about it. One of the last days of the trip, I get away. Have you guys been to Maui before?
She has. I grew up in the cornfields of Indiana. So
you've been to Raytown.
I've been to Raytown. I went to kindergarten in Raytown, people.
You got Raytown.
Are you kidding me? Let's go. Shout out to Raytown.
It's gorgeous. And so here I am at the edge of this cliff, having time by myself, kind of like pounding on God's chest. Like we came to Maui and I still have this hard thing. We came all the way to Maui and I still have this hard thing. Mm-hmm. And like, as I said it and wrote it in my journal again and again, it was like the emphasis changed. And all of a sudden I felt like it shifted to, you have this hard thing and I brought you to Maui. Mm-hmm. This is hard and you're in Maui. And it was this picture to me of, if you can accept this hard thing, there's a world of wonder to see in the middle of it. Like stand at the edge of this cliff, watching the water, you know, blue water hit the edge of the cliff, looking at the mountains in the distance, there's whales breaching. And it's like, yep, the hard thing isn't changing. And you brought me to Maui and it wasn't just a one-time experience. I felt like it was actually walking into, oh, this is what it feels like when I accept my limitations. There's a ton of freedom. Mm-hmm. Like that, this instance in my life of like interceding for this thing to change. It doesn't change. God says, and I brought you to Maui. It's like I walked into a stretch of, oh, this is incredibly liberating to not get what I want, to stay limited. And to go, there's wonder here.
Mm, that's so beautiful. I love that. So for somebody listening, they're sitting in a situation, they've been praying their heart out over, it's not changing. That mm-hmm. line is not moving. Mm-hmm. Offer some hope in that situation. What do you offer in here from a practical perspective? I think mm-hmm. I always hear grand concepts like this and I'm like, I'm so moved. I'm there. I'm like, I'm with you. But then I turn it off and there's, you know, all my limitations. Yes. So I just want to give people like a practical handle to grab onto to move towards that freedom that you're talking about, where we can have eyes to see the wonder that's available hidden within that limit.
Right. I think it's naming our limit. Like, I think there's a few practical things we can do to actually lean into this and have it move from being big and ethereal and wonderful to like really real for 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yes.
Naming our limitations is pretty key, and giving ourselves the space to grieve them. I mean, it's sort of like if you look at like Resurrection Weekend encapsulated, we have to come and bring our limitations to a cross. And many of us have to die to wanting them to change. And we, in a death, there is grief. There is this Saturday where it's like dark and gray, and we don't know that there's going to be a Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's like submitting to a process that, like, as you name your limitations, you can't name them and not grieve them. They're sad. They're hard. It's hard to be on the other side of the fence from what you want. So sitting in the grief of it, knowing that on the other side of that could actually be a Resurrection Sunday where God goes, I have a story for you that's better than the one that you keep pushing for. And maybe the doorway into that is accepting that the story that you have right now is just the one you're living and it's not going to change. Which, you know, as Christians, we're like, what? God can move mountains. Well, maybe stop looking at the mountain right in front of you that's not moving, and there might be one behind you that he's moving and wanting you to see.
Oh, he's definitely moving.
So good.
He's moving
Yeah.
multiple mountains. Sometimes it's us having the eyes to see. You're exactly right.
Right.
So what's your hope when people grab this book, they snuggle up next to the fire?
On a rainy, cozy day. Quiet.
Yeah. And kids are leaving them alone. And they didn't read it. What's your hope for the people who get this book and read it?
My hope is that circumstances feel less like the prison they are. And that eyes would be able to shift from this thing has to move for me to get some air to there's something God has for me right here. And it, whether it's physical, you've got Lyme disease, you've got some kind of chronic illness, or a kid that's unbending, or a rough relationship with a parent, or a marriage that feels stifling, like that we would maybe stop holding our breath for when that changes and go, there's some kind of wonder here.
I love that.
So good. Well, thanks for coming to our house and hanging out with us.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, follow you, get the book, all those
things? Stalk you.
Yeah.
SarahHegarty.net is my website, but I also write on Substack.
Okay.
So it's called Soar with Sarah Hegarty on Substack. And I have like a regular newsletter there, but I also have a private, more private kind of gated group where I write a lot more frequently, a little bit more honestly. And I am on Instagram at Sarah Hegarty Writes. No H at the end of my name.
Okay.
And the book, The Gift of Limitations, Finding Beauty in Your Boundaries, can be purchased anywhere where books are.
Okay, awesome. Well, we hope people pick up the book and check out all of those things. We'll link to all of it in the show notes, but thank you so much for being here with us today.
As always, thank you so much for listening. We hope this episode really, truly blessed you, and we would love to hear from you. If you haven't yet, take a minute and leave us a review on iTunes. Hit us up on our website, The Rhythm of Us, or come find us in the world of social media. We love hearing from you and what God's doing in your life.
Also, you can find all the info for today's episode, all the books and links mentioned in our show notes over at our website, therhythmofus.com.
Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks so much for joining us again, guys. We will catch you next time on The Rhythm of Us.